Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman and co-host, and with me today is Max Cohen. This episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Norwich City. Before that, though, we will talk about Max's recent article about second place in the league. I certainly want to talk to Max about that. We also have some other interesting topics to discuss as well. We have much to get through in this episode of Cottage Talk, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome Max back to the show. Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Ross. It feels like it's been ages since I've been on the show. You know,
are you on Fulham withdrawal?
Exactly. I'm total Fulham withdrawal. The international break always seems to stretch on for years, it seems. But thankfully, that is over. And although it was nice to see the couple of the Fulham players doing well for their respective countries, the Norwich City match is what I think everyone's been waiting for ever since that QPR final whistle went. So, yeah, great to be back.
It is. I look forward to the match. We are recording this on Thursday. The match is on Friday, on Good Friday, and I certainly look forward to it, my friend. And we have a ton to get through in regards to that match. But before we do that, I do want to talk about your article, because your article is interesting. I feel like I'm in Godfather 3. Just when you think you've been out, they drag you back in, because you were talking about second place. I don't want to talk about it anymore, Max, but you brought it there. I do want to mention one thing on the video that we recently did, and this is a classic Goldman, so I'm going to call myself out on this. When I was talking to Mike about this, about second place, I said we were 8 points away, and stupid me, it's 7 points. And I knew that, but I don't know why I said 8 points, but it's actually 7 points. So you make an argument of why we should still look at second place, Max. Let's talk about your article here. It's on the Boot Room. Max wrote this: how Fulham can still topple Cardiff for automatic promotion. I want this to happen, but Max, I don't know if it can happen. You make your argument here. We've talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, what I start out with saying is that I think it's important to realize, regardless of the top two conversation, which we'll go into much later in just a short moment, but let's just take a step back and think. Last year, it was all about top six, and top six looked very tenuous until very late on to the season. We were really seventh, eighth, pushing. We only got into the top six securely with around one or two matches to play. This season, I think we can all take, as Fulham supporters, it's a given that we're going to get playoffs. And just that we're having the conversation, that's a given we're going to be in the playoffs, is fantastic, because that means no matter what, we're going to have a chance to play at promotion. And although I know this conversation can get heated over whether it's realistic we can get top two, the fact of the matter is we're going to have a great chance at promotion regardless. But the fact of the matter is I think it's going to be a long shot. There's no doubt for automatic promotion. I think the 7-point gap, especially with Cardiff City's match in hand, their game in hand, is pretty crucial. But the simple argument I make is that it's the run-in that matters the most. It's the teams that we play versus the teams Cardiff play. And it's just simple. They have the much more difficult run-in. They're going to play Wolves. They're going to play Villa. They're going to play Sheffield United, and they're going to play Derby. Those are four very difficult matches, and you know, maybe they win one, maybe they win a couple, but I can see them dropping points in all of those matches. I think those teams they're going to play are going to be hungry. You know, Wolves, they want to secure first place. Villa, they want to secure possibly third, definitely in the playoffs. And Sheffield United and Derby are going to want to get into that top six. All these teams are something to prove. And Fulham, quite frankly, don't have that exact same difficulty in their last eight fixtures. You know, you have teams towards the bottom, which you could make the argument they're going to be tougher because they're fighting relegation. But I think everyone would rather play a relegation threatened team than a team pushing the top six. And Fulham got their hard run out of the way in the past couple months. And now these teams are going to be teams they definitely have more quality than, and teams they should beat. And that's really the main reason I'm optimistic that there is an outside chance we can get top two.
Okay, well, listen, I want to believe it, Max, honestly. And I keep saying we're not going to talk about it. Then, of course, you write about it, so we're talking about it. Here's the thing that I was talking to Mike Gregg about. And we were talking about second. He brought this up, and I didn't realize it until he said it, Max. And this makes me nervous about this scenario. Fulham have now gone 16 matches without a loss. You basically point out that we really can't even afford a loss, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. You are now talking about an additional 8 matches of being undefeated. Think about that. That's a lot to ask from any team.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The more you think about it, the less likely it seems, if I'm going to be completely honest. But I'm just going to go off our past form. That's all really you can okay. go off. And if we've, my philosophy is we've beaten the best teams in the division. And not only have we beaten them, Ross, we've wiped them off the park.
Sure.
If you look at Sheffield United, if you look at Wolves, if you look what we did to Villa, we are playing, I think we're the best form in the league right now. And unfortunately for us, the only team who can maybe challenge us for the best form in the league is Cardiff City, the team we're chasing down. And the uncomfortable truth is that although we've put on that 16-match winning run, Cardiff have put an 11-match unbeaten run, and they've won each of their last seven. They've won seven in a row, which right. is a better last seven form than we have. So we're going head-to-head against the best team in the league. But I think if there are points to be dropped, and I think all it takes is just a shift in momentum. If they drop points to one of those, to Wolves, the Wolves match is going to be huge coming up, I think, in the upcoming 2 weeks. If they lose to Wolves, right. suddenly I think the next matches against, you know, they played Burton, Norwich City, like we do tomorrow, Forest, Reading, and Hull. You never know what can happen in those matches. And all it takes is one poor result, and the confidence gets shot. And another thing about Cardiff, which I think we Fulham fans like to remark about a lot, which I think is a good point, is that they're kind of grinding out results. They're not playing good football. We are playing good football. I think that's an undoubted truth that we're playing attacking, free-flowing football. We're dominating matches. Cardiff simply aren't. Cardiff, you can say, I don't know how fair this is.
Do you think it's going to catch up with them? That's basically what you're talking
about. Exactly. It's going to catch up to them, I think, Russ.
Okay. I hope you're right. And listen, if you look at it on paper and you look at the fixtures, you're bringing up a good point with these matches for Cardiff City. I've looked at it, and I'm trying to avoid looking at it because I can see it, okay? I understand why you wrote this, because I can see the matches, the points that they can drop. But then I go back to my discussion with Mike, and he brings up this undefeated run, and then you're asking them to go 24 matches without a loss, and that's a lot to ask for any team. So that's the part that is a little sobering about all of this. But we just have to see how they do it. I give you credit for writing it and sticking by your beliefs here, my friend. I know you've already said you think it's a long shot. I think it's a long shot at this point, but you never know. You never know what can happen. So good by you to write about it, and please do check out Max's article on tbrfootball.com. I've put it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I tweeted it out. Please do check it out. I would highly recommend it. All right, Max. Before we really dive into this match, I found an interesting article just a little bit ago on Get West London from Ryan O'Donovan. These are quotes from Savice's presser today, I believe, that Ryan went to. He's got some interesting quotes, and I'm going to share them with you. His article is entitled, Savice Jokanović Hits Out at Serbia for Treatment of Newcastle Loan Man Alexander Mitrovic. And I'm just going to read you the quotes. I'll just mention that basically this has to do with the fact that Alexander Mitrovic played 90 minutes in both of Serbia's matches. So he played a great deal. And apparently, Savice is not happy about it. This is from the article, and I'm just going to read it to you. Jokanović told Get West London, quote, I'm happy with him, in parentheses, Mitrovic. He played a very good game. I'm happy with the respect from Alex McLeish for bringing my players and using them and giving them a rest. I'm real happy with coach of the under-21s, A.D. Boothroyd, who used Ryan Session and understood that this guy has been charged with many games by us. For another side, I don't have any comment about the respect that the Serbia national team showed to myself and my players. I'm very happy for him, again in parentheses, Mitrovic, that he scored the goals, and I'm happy for the national team who won the games. It's very important to have words, and my word has value, and when you promise me something and you are a liar, I'm sometimes really unsatisfied. I'm unhappy because Mitrovic played two games, and I expect he will be a really good player for the national team, and expect he will score in all the games in front of him for Serbia. But in this moment, the only player that played 90 minutes in the two games was him. I'm not satisfied. That is my personal feeling. I'm not coached there, but I ask something, they answer me something, but the words are not important with these people. Okay. Those are the quotes from Slavisa about the situation with Alexander Mitrovic, which I find very interesting. And just want to mention that at Slavisa's presser, he also mentioned that no one came back injured. So that's a good sign. But it sounds like it's a concern of his, Max. And it is a concern of mine that he did play these two matches because I would have liked him to get some rest. And it sounds like that's what Slavisa wanted. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, certainly it seems there that Slavisa had talked to the national coach of Serbia and he had said to him, listen, we're going to rest Mitrovic. We know he's played a lot for you guys at Fulham. And it seems like he's really gone back on that claim and played him for the whole two matches. And the only player, Slavisa said, in the entire Serbian national team, which is really worrying because, first of all, you don't lie to Slavisa Jokanović. I don't think you're going to end up well if you get on his bad side. Let's just say that. He's an intimidating guy. I would not want to be in that position. And on the other hand, these are friendlies before the World Cup. I think the Serbian coach definitely knows Mitrovic is going to be his starting striker. And normally these matches are kind of used for a combination of having your World Cup squad play together, but also to see new guys maybe for the future, because they are friendlies. These right. matches had no meaning on them. So it's kind of odd that he'd play for the entire 180 minutes over the two matches and not give another younger or striker who had less playing time a look, which is right. odd. But I mean, to be fair, he scored two goals against Nigeria.
He did.
Very well taken goals. Showed he's continuing his red hot form. And on another point about that is that the match was in Barnet. It was in North London. So it's not as if, as in the case of Thomas Kalas, we had to go to China to play.
I know.
There's going to be no jet lag. There's no big travel. So that's one positive from that situation. At least he was kept local. He didn't have to travel a big length for that match, at least.
No, that's a good point. It's just, you know, and again, listen, you and I are Fulham supporters. I'm glad that he did so well for Serbia. But if I'm thinking about it as a fan of our team, I would like him to be rested and ready to go for the rest of the season. And because we need him. And it's interesting because if you look at the way Kevin McDonald and Tom Kearney were treated, they were rested. They played that first match. I believe Kearney came off in the second half of the first match, but they were rested. So I can see Savisa's point there, Max, because listen, he's the head coach of Fulham Football Club. He obviously wants Serbia to do well, but his first allegiance is to Fulham. And that's why, you know, again, this to me is interesting because, you know, Savisa obviously was not happy with this, Max. But in the big picture, I just hope it doesn't affect us these next two matches because we have two big matches coming up. We have obviously Norwich City and then you have the Leeds United match. So I think that's what's going through his mind, Max, is that he's now played, like you said, 180 minutes and we have these two matches coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it is worrying with, of course, the championship is probably one of the most demanding leagues in the world.
Right, it's so grueling.
Yeah, in terms of fixtures, exactly. And you might say the last thing you need is to have Mitrovic playing another two matches in such quick succession over their national break. But on the other hand, I do hear that argument and I really sympathize with that. But in terms of my philosophy of these kind of things, Mitrovic is 23 years old. He's at the peak of his powers. He's a footballer. It's his profession. He loves playing matches. I think there are worse things than having him play two full matches for his national team. Obviously, as a Fulham fan, I'd like him to be rested a tad, but right. I don't have too many grievances because he loves playing football and he's continuing this form. I mean, I would play him if I was a coach, you know?
Okay, fair enough. You know, listen, I understand the argument. As a player, you want to play. And it's funny because I've talked about this on another podcast with a co-host, and the co-host said, if you're fit to play, you should play all the matches that are in front of you. And I understand that, and I respect that, and I'm sure a player wants to play. But I'm looking at it as a Fulham supporter, and I would like him to be fresh in these matches coming up. And that's why I think I understand where Slavisa is coming from, Max.
Yeah, for sure. Always when you're a club manager, there's always that disconnect between club and national team,
yeah.
where the club manager always wants them to be rested, not to risk injury. It was just funny in this situation that Solis is going after his own country's national team.
I know.
You don't always see. And we know how vocal Solis is in support of Serbia. He's always posting on Twitter. He loves Djokovic. He's very proud of his heritage.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see him picking a fight with his own country's national team. So you don't see that every day.
But in a way, it shows his allegiance to Fulham, Max.
Exactly. I think that's actually a great point you brought up, because especially given how proud he is of his Serbian heritage and how patriotic he is, he's placing Fulham above that, which is pretty remarkable. That shows he's very dedicated to the cause, which is admirable.
Right. And that's the flip side of all of this. With all the negativity about this, Savic is showing his loyalty to Fulham Football Club.
Without a doubt, he's the foremost advocate for Fulham. And you can see in what he said about all the other players as well. The only thing he's looking out for is the health and the fitness of his players. He loves Fulham, as far as I'm concerned. And as he mentioned, this shows how dedicated he is, how passionate he is, and goes a long way to dispel those rumors linking him away to a Premier League job, whether it be West Ham, Southampton, Stoke, any number of these vacant Premier League jobs that could open up in the summer. I think it's a pretty good indication that he sees where his allegiances lie, and that's at Greenwood Cottage.
Okay, very good there, Max. All right, let's now get into our preview. I just want to share this quote, because I think this quote from Slavica, also from his presser, that you can actually see on the Fulham Twitter account, I think reigns true to this upcoming match with Norwich City. Norwich City are a team that like to play football. They like to possess the ball. I'm going to share some stats that are going to back that up. And I think this quote, again, just shows the respect that Slavica has for Daniel Farke and Norwich City, and also telling you that this is not going to be an easy match, because this team wants to do what Fulham want to do. Here's the quote, Max. I want to get your thoughts on this. This is from Slavica. Quote, Norwich is a team who want to have possession like us. We're probably going to have this kind of challenge, the challenge of taking on the pressure from their side and try and dominate them with the ball. I want to get your thoughts about this, because, again, I'm going to share a bunch of information about Norwich City, and this is what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to possess the ball and dominate the ball like Fulham.
Yeah, and I think that actually plays into Fulham's hands, because I think the most trouble Fulham has had over this past 16-match unbeaten run is when teams try to disrupt their style. A good example of that was the Bristol City match, and as well as QPR. When teams try to disrupt Fulham's style and kind of play counter to them, that's when I think we really struggle with a high-press kind of system where we can't play out of the back, we can't assert our style. I think Norwich playing that passing football is almost going to benefit Fulham. And I think Slavica also mentioned in his press conference, you know, we will try to dominate them.
Right.
They're a team who want possession, but we will try to dominate them. And I think ultimately that's what will happen. I think the table doesn't lie. We're third, and Norwich are 13th. And that means we're much better at that style of play. So I'm actually quite happy that Norwich play this way.
Okay there, my friend. All right. I'm now going to share some information with you from whoscored.com. I thought it'd be a great way to get into our preview. And then I'm going to share some information in a little bit from James Kent, who's been on the show several times. He is a Norwich City supporter, and he answered some questions that I have, and that will help basically get us up to date with what's going on with Norwich City for our preview here. But let's start with just some information where both teams are in the league in several categories. And all this is from whoscored.com. Let's go to goals. Norwich City are tied for 18th with 41. Fulham are second, Max, at 66. Shots per game, Norwich City are fifth at 13.7. Fulham are fourth at 13.8. Possession, Norwich City are fourth in the division at 54.0. Fulham are first at 57.3. Passing success, Norwich City are third at 80%. Fulham are first at 82.7%. Aerials won. Norwich City are second to last at 17.1, and Fulham are last at 15.9.
This is remarkable. Crosses
per game, Norwich City are last with 15, and Fulham are tied at 17th with 17. Okay. Long balls, Norwich City are 23rd at 66, and Fulham are last at 60. And now we go to short passes. The strengths of both teams, this is going to really prove that out. Norwich City are third in short passes in the league at 428 per game. Fulham are first at 484. All right, Max, what are your thoughts about the stats I just shared? Does it really just show that this is going to be a possession-based football match?
I mean, Russ, I'm almost at a loss for words after you shared those stats, because I don't think I've heard stats this season or maybe ever that are so similar in terms of style of play. It's almost an exact carbon copy, you know, with us being last, they're second last in those physical aspects of the game, and then in the intricate passing possession aspects, we're first, they're third. It's remarkable how similar they play.
Very similar. Slavisa in so many categories.
Yeah, I mean, Slavisa, and you said it earlier, but this even bolsters that claim even more. Yep. And then I'm gonna go back. Yeah, he knows. He's done his research. And then I'm going to go back to my claim I made just a couple minutes ago, in that if they play so similarly to us, and they're in 13th, and we're in third, I think that shows we're just far more effective at playing this type of play. But I think it will be a very similar approach in the two teams. It just seems we're better at it.
That would be probably accurate, Max. And it's funny, I'm going to share some information from James Kemp, because I wanted to know why they're not higher up the table than they currently are. And he's going to share that with you. I think it'll make sense, but I'll get to that in just a bit. Here's some more information from whoscored.com, just to give you characteristics of Norwich City to go along with building our preview here. Let's look at strengths. It only lists one strength, Max, which I found very interesting. Coming back from losing positions, that's actually a good strength to have, but that's it. Weaknesses, they have several weaknesses. Finishing scoring chances, that seems to be a big one, Max. Avoiding offside. Stopping opponents from creating chances. Avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Aerial duels, we've already talked about that. Defending set pieces. Style of play, attacking down the left. Short passes. Take long shots, possession football, rotate their first 11. Opponents play aggressively against them, playing in their own half. Okay, Max, that's a little information from whoscored.com. Does that solidify even more your thoughts when it comes to this team heading into this match?
Yeah, I mean, the one that jumps out to me was the weaknesses at finishing off scoring chances.
Yes.
Which would be a huge explanation as to why, you know, they have all these great possession stats, they have a lot of shots per match, but they're just not finishing them off. And it almost sounds to me like Norwich are a similar team to Fulham, perhaps in the first half of the season, and Fulham in last season as well, where we didn't really have that striker to finish off our chances. Although we were creating a lot of chances and we were dominating play, we didn't have the finishing touch. And that seems to be Norwich's main problem. So I think a lot of our supporters can sympathize with the position they're in. It seems to me a lot like what we were in just a couple months ago before we started this remarkable run.
Right. And some of the information I'm just about to share with you, again, it should basically back all that up. And now I'm going to share some thoughts from James Kent. He was on the show earlier in the season for the opener. James, unfortunately, could not come on to actually talk about Norwich City today. We couldn't get our schedules to match up. But he did want to help out, and he did answer some of my questions, Max. We're going to go through what James had to share, and I think you're going to find it interesting. My first question to him was, just give me your overall view of the season so far for Norwich City. This is what he had to say. It's been an inconsistent season for Norwich with some good things, but putting wins together has been a problem. Defense has been a big improvement from last season, but there's been a lack of goals scored. Overall, the team has looked good away, but lacked consistent results at home. There have been some good things, but plenty of work to do looking ahead to next season as well. Then I asked him, can you put your finger on why Norwich City are not in contention for the playoffs? And they're 10 points away, but it would be a tall task for them to get into the playoffs. Here was his answer. There was an awful lot of change over the course of the summer. This included the new head coach, but also the entire coaching team has changed, as well as changes in the academy and other areas, such as full changes in the scouting. Stuart Weber was also new to his role as sporting director after coming in the end of the previous season. After Norwich failed to win promotion, last season costs had to be cut and players left that we would have liked to have kept. The wage bill has been cut significantly, and it was always going to be a tough ask to be in the top six with all those changes. I don't personally see it as a failure, and it will be easier to see how well Norwich are progressing this time next season. And one more question, and then I want to get your thoughts on all of this, Max, is I asked him about Daniel Farke and how he's worked out so far. Here's his answer. Daniel Farke was new to English football, and there has certainly been a learning curve for him in the championship. I think he had certain ideas about things at the start of the season that needed more time. This included formation he wanted to play, and he was caught out a little bit by the physical nature of the league and the fact you don't get much time on the ball. The big thing, though, is he has been flexible and open to changes. I'm confident he has learned a lot from this season and will be ready next season with a clear idea on what to expect. I've seen improvement in these areas from last season. Built a solid defense with Klose, Zimmerman, and Hanley operating as a three. Imposed his possession style of play on the team. Got players working hard and pushing up the fitness level. Overall, I've been impressed with him, but he knows he will be under more pressure next season. So I want to give credit for Norwich City for sticking with Farke. Let's call it a rebuild season, because that's exactly what this is. And they're building something there. So I want to give them credit for not sacking him and sticking with him. Thoughts on all the information that I just shared with you, Max?
Yeah, you know, the more I hear it, the more it really seems like there are a lot of parallels to the situation we were in.
Yes.
Just a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. With the new manager coming in, I think Farke and Slavisa share a lot of commonalities as managers in terms of their philosophies, and also coming into a new team with a lot of older players from the Premier League days leaving. There's a big rebuild coming up. So I think certainly right that the summer is going to be a big time for them. And this time next year could almost be what we did in 2016-17, when it was finally Slavisa had his time to really imprint his philosophy on the squad, to form his first 11 with transfers over the summer. So I'd definitely be looking for Norwich to be a favorite for promotion next year, certainly, as Farke imposes what he wants on his players. And you just have to give it time. You know, with new managers, it's always going to have that learning curve, as you mentioned, with adjusting to England, adjusting to a new style of play, a new team. And just give it time. I think it would be too early for them to be promoted this year, as you mentioned, but next year should certainly be a good spell for the Canaries.
Okay, very good there, Max. All right. I then asked him about key players for Norwich City and also wanted him to talk about James Maddison, because James Maddison has had a very good season for Norwich City. So this is what James Kent had to share, Max. Maddison has been massive for Norwich this season, and certainly our key attacking player. His stats this season speak for themselves, and it's been a pleasure watching him this season. It remains to be seen if he will be here next season, though, the Premier League interest. Depending on how the team is set up, Josh Murphy will probably be the other key attacking threat to keep an eye on, and fullbacks, wingbacks, Jamal Lewis, and Ivo Pinto to get forward. Maddison is often seen as the player to unlock defenses, but Mario Vranić is a player that is quickly improving with impressive passing ability and range. This next part, just remember this next part I'm about to share with you. Onel Hernandez is injured for this match and has been impressive since signing in January. Along with Josh Murphy, he carries a direct threat, but still need to work on his end product. The fact that he's missing may mean Norwich look to play more centrally through Maddison rather than getting it wide. This situation is likely to be to Fulham's advantage for the match. Max, that's the reason why I wanted you to key on that last part. Hernandez is out for this match. According to James, he feels that they're now going to be looking even more to Maddison, basically going against our central midfield, which we know is a strength of Fulham. Your thoughts?
Yes, certainly our central midfield has shown over this past spell, when you play really talented teams with talented players, they can always counteract the threats in the middle of the park. So that's certainly good news for us. And I mean, again, I have to say, how lucky can we get with opposition dangerous players seem to be out when we play them? It seems to be happening over and over again, which is great news for Fulham. Another example of us getting the benefit of the luck this season, right, opposed to in the past. I also think Madison will be very dangerous, though. He's certainly one of the brightest prospects in the championship, right up there, Sessegnon, and others. Reminds me almost of a sort of a Jack Grealish type of player. He has a lot of promise, scored a hat trick a couple weeks ago.
He's very good.
Very good player. We'll definitely have to deal with him. And that also kind of bothers me, though, that they will certainly focus the majority of the attack through him. So he'll be getting a lot of the ball. And if you give a player like him time on the ball, it might lead to negative consequences. And we know a lot about them from the first match he played. I think we dominated them for sure. We probably deserve the 3 points, but that was a match where we didn't put the match away. And they came back and equalized in the closing minutes. So we have to be wary that they are good from fighting back from losing positions, as you mentioned earlier.
They are.
But certainly with the loss of Hernandez, will be a benefit for us.
It should. And that's why I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. And Daniel Farke, if you go on the North City Twitter account, he mentions it as well. So James is getting that information, I think, directly from what was talked about today. So Hernandez is out, and based on a lot of the video I've watched, he was very dangerous for them. I watched a ton of video on Norwich City, and that was a player that stood out along with Josh Murphy and, of course, James Maddison. So when I learned that he was out, I'm like, well, that definitely benefits Fulham. All right, now I asked strengths and weaknesses for Norwich City going into this match to James Kent. This is what he said. Norwich City tend to perform better against possession teams, so hopefully they will be at their best. The defense has been a big improvement this season as well as their ability to keep the ball. However, the biggest weakness has been the inability to take chances. Norwich create plenty in a match but aren't so good at putting them on target and score more goals from range or set-piece situations than in the box. Then I asked, if you were Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy against Norwich City? This is what James had to share. Jokanović should look to exploit Norwich's biggest weakness, which is the inability to score many goals. We've already been talking about that. Therefore, look to start fast and get into a two-goal lead, and Norwich would have difficulty coming back from that situation. All right, Max, what are your thoughts about what James shared here in regards to strengths and weaknesses and strategy for Slavisa?
Yeah, certainly their inability to score remains a problem. And I was really interested to hear, I don't know if you mentioned this, about Nelson Oliveira, because he was the danger man
when we
played them back in the first match of the season. He scored that equalizing goal. And I was wondering what Norwich fans thought of him, because I feel like there has been some controversy with him being left out of the squad. He probably thinks he deserves a bigger starting role.
He scored 8 goals so far, so he has made a difference for them.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see what type of role he plays in the match.
Very good point there. And I just want to mention their leading goal scorer is James Maddison with 13. That's a decent amount of goals, my friend. Yeah. All right. Let's just finish this up here with information from James Kent. I'm just going to go right to his prediction. Here was his prediction for the match. Entertaining game by two possession teams. He's going for a 2-2 draw. Okay. I think you understand why he's going for a draw here, Max, because on paper, the teams look pretty even.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly if I'm an Norwich fan, I'm not going to predict a loss for them. But I think draw is probably the best they can hope for, considering the amazing form we're on. And I think it will be an entertaining match. I think I do agree with him in the sense that I think there will be goals. I just think the majority will go Fulham's way.
I tend to agree with you there, my friend. All right. Let's get into your thoughts on this match. Just your opening thoughts. I've shared all this information with you. What have you made of Norwich City this season?
I just think that they're a very good team, but they don't quite have that cutting edge. I think they remind me a lot of Fulham, as I said earlier. I think in a year's time, they'll be a very, very dangerous team. But as of now, they don't have enough cutting edge up top to really worry me.
Right.
And I do think Fulham will get the victory tomorrow.
Okay. Shared information from James Kent about dangerous players, key players for him. Which Norwich City players most concern you in this match?
I'm going to have to go with what James said and say James Maddison. He is by far their biggest goal threat, by far their brightest talent, and also Jacob Murphy, whose I think brother is at Newcastle now, really impressive.
Right.
And Murphy himself at Norwich is also a very dangerous player and might look for a move away in the future because he really has that pace, that talent on the wing. So we'll have to look out for those two young talents, but I think we do have enough quality to dominate them, as Slavisa said.
Okay, very good. Okay, who are your key players for Fulham against Norwich City?
Yeah, I know. We haven't even really mentioned that much about Fulham.
No, we haven't. We've been talking a lot about Norwich City.
Let's talk about Fulham. My key players, I think Mitrovic is going to be certainly the biggest one. Because
I totally agree. I start right there.
Exactly, because in away matches, the past couple ones, certainly Preston, he played a starring role. He's on great goal-scoring form. I think everything we're going to do through the attack is going to go through him. And I'm going to go out there. I mean, I know this isn't too original, but I'm going to say Sessegnon. Because for all the fanfare we've made about Sessegnon, I love him. But if we're going to be honest, he hasn't showed his full form really in the past month or so, I'm going to say. I think he's showing signs of fatigue, as you'd have to expect, at only 17 years of age, playing, starting every single match this season, 38 matches. He's going to be tired. I think the international break will do him a lot of good. And also, getting experience for the England under 21s at the age of 17, that's also going to be a really great experience from him. I think he's going to learn a lot from his time with them over the past couple weeks. I'm going to tip him to come in and be very effective.
Okay, very good. Max, I actually helped out with an article from a Norwich City supporter, and I predicted a Fulham victory because I believe in Alexander Mitrovic could be the difference. If you can't handle him, you're going to have a hard time. And he actually had a very interesting response, and I'm going to just share it with you because he's a big fan here of Grant Hanley. This is what he had to say. His name's Andrew Lawn. If ever a center half was constructed to deal with burly, niggly forwards, it was Grant Hanley. So with Mitrovic nullified, this Norwich City supporter was going with a 3-2 Norwich City victory. But what are your thoughts about that? Again, I thought QPR did a decent job against him, but we've seen the majority of center backs struggle against Alexander Mitrovic.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is look at the Wolves match. Look at the Villa match. Look at the Sheffield United match. Derby County match. You have Richard Keogh. You have Richard Stearman.
Boy, did they struggle against him.
Yeah, and I think they're very much in the mold of Grant Hanley. Big, burly, as that supporter mentioned, strong British center halves. They had absolutely no answers for Mitrovic. And I think you're going to find very few defenders in this division. Certainly not in a team that's ranked 13th that can deal with our Serbian striker. So I'm honestly not too worried about that claim.
Okay, well, if you're interested, go check out the article on longcomenorwich.com. All right, my friend. So you've already mentioned your key players, which is great. Give me your starting 11.
I'm going to go with the similar starting 11 that Fulham have really tried and tested all season now. I think we have the same, really, I'm going to say back five, but it's really back eight if you're going to consider the midfield three. So I think we know who that is. Bedinelli, Kalasarim, Target Fredericks, McDonald, Johansson, Kearney. And then, as I wrote in another article about Florida Ite, really the center forward and left wing are also certain. It's going to be Mitrovic and Sessegnon. And that leaves, you know, the six attackers for that one right wing spot. And I don't know if you had a chance to read this, but I wrote another article for the Boot Room this week about Florida Ite and his international exploits, scoring a double for Togo, and whether that will be enough for him to nail down a starting space. And I really looked at the stats of the past couple of matches, and I found that in the past three matches, interestingly enough, Jokanović has selected a different right winger for each match. Sheffield United, it was Ojo. For the Preston match, it was Ite. And for the QPR match, it was Piazon. And Piazon rewarded Slavisa with a goal against QPR. So right now, I'm really torn between who is going to start between Piazon and Ite. I'm going to have to say Ite because I just read the article about him and I really like what he did over the international break. And I think he offers probably the best option, especially given what he did at Carra Road last year, scoring that really tremendous goal to secure the win for us.
Okay. All right, Max. What do Fulham need to do to win this match?
I don't change your winning formula, is what I say. What they have to do is just be the team they've been for the past 16 matches. They have to be solid in midfield. I think Kearney will be very influential in dictating the play. the defense has been sound. The fullbacks will push up and really worry Norwich. And if you play through the focal point that is Mitrovic, he can get those attacking midfielders involved in the play. And that's what I'm really looking forward to, another positive attacking performance from us.
Okay, excellent. All right, it's time to go to predictions. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I put this up late, so there weren't that many votes. There's only 78 votes. It was 88% win, and loss was at 12%. So that's a decent amount for win. Let's now go to the Cottage Talk Twitter poll that I did, which had 171 votes. So there's a good amount more votes there. Win was at 71%, Max. Draw was at 21%, and loss was at 8%. All right, putting you on the spot. Sounds like you're going to predict a Fulham victory because you're hell-bent with this. We can still get second place, so I'm assuming it's going to be a victory here.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Russ. I'm going to be the optimist. I'm going to say – I'm actually going to go with your score. And the same score as last year. I'm going to say Norwich 1, Fulham 3.
Wow. Oh, I like that. Okay. Well, it's funny, Max, because anyone that knows me will call me the ultimate optimist. I think I met my match. I think it's you. I think you're more of an optimist than me, which is fantastic. Maybe that's why we get along so well.
Yeah,
we're both very optimistic, and I like that. I like being optimistic, so I'm glad I found a younger version. I like it. It's great.
It's easy to be optimistic when Fulham are winning, you know? It's a rare feel. That's the thing. I said this before earlier, but it's a weird feeling to have, you know?
It is.
I haven't felt this kind of optimism. I mean, I don't know, ever as a Fulham supporter. I mean, the Europa League run certainly matches that. But apart from that, and that was, what, 8 years ago? Yep. I haven't really had this feeling. So it's a new feeling for me. I'm liking it a lot. You know, all my friends here are United, Chelsea, Tottenham, Spurs, whatever. They're all support teams who are used to winning. And now I can finally get on that bandwagon with a team who can win the majority of their matches.
Yes, you can there, my friend. And listen, it's great to be a Fulham supporter right now, and it's been a rocky road when we got relegated, and now to see where we are at this point, it's just wonderful. It really is wonderful. We should be really just enjoying it these last eight matches. Let's see what happens, but this has been an incredible run. I thought last season was pretty good. This has been better. Let's just call it what it is. This has been better, and I'm going to enjoy these last eight matches. Now, Max, I'm going against my prediction. And part of it was that when I made my prediction to this website, this was the prediction I went with. And I was just, you know, again, I didn't want to be too bold. So I went 2-1. But in my heart, I wanted to go 3-1.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, I think 2-1 is certainly a very plausible scoreline. But, you know, 3-1, you can't beat that, Russ. That's just a perfect score.
Okay. Excellent show, my friend. This is a lot of fun. It's been a little bit since we've had you on. Like I said, we're both going through this Fulham withdrawal, so I hope this helped you as much as it helped me.
Without a doubt. It's the best part of my week to do this podcast, and once the international break is over, I mean, the games are coming thick and fast in these final eight matches.
They are.
So it's going to be a pleasure to get fully behind the boys, and this could be the most exciting time to be a Fulham fan in a very long while. So I'm just going to enjoy it.
I would just say enjoy these last eight matches. Let's see where it takes us. Let's see if it's playoffs. Let's see if Max ultimately is right. And if he is, I'm going to jump on a plane to Philly, PA, and shake your hand. If you end up being right. I'll take a little trip. But let's see how this all plays out, and let's just enjoy it. Before we go, I just want to mention this one thing. I've gotten so much positive feedback on the video that Mike Gregg and myself did. It was Mike's idea, so I want to give Mike full credit on this. Mike said, hey, listen, we should try a video. And we did it split screen, and it worked out real good. And like I said, the feedback has been excellent on it. We're going to do more of them. We're actually thinking of interesting ideas to do with video, and Max, you're going to like this idea. One of the ideas, and especially where you grew up, there's a show I believe that's hosted where you grew up, called Around the Horn, and we want to do a style show like that with multiple boxes with multiple people on at the same time, do a video like that. So that's That's one of the things we're thinking of, but we are going to expand using video with Cottage Talk. We just wanted to test it out, see if people liked it, and it seems like people do like it, and I'll work on my facial mannerisms, which were kind of weird, but, you know, I enjoyed it, and I hope you did too.
Yeah, well, I think Russ, you could certainly be the next Tony Reale.
Tony Reale, yeah.
We need that comparison.
Oh, boy. Oh, one final thing, and I just want to mention this, Max, because what's interesting is that I now do another podcast, and one part of the podcast is we focus on the New England Revolution talking about MLS. And the Revolution have an upcoming match against the Houston Dynamo. And the Revolution are going against a former Fulham player at center back. Take a guess who it is.
I think it's Philippe Senderos.
It is Philippe Senderos.
Yeah, there we go.
And I actually just tweeted out, I look forward to this because I think that the Revolution can take advantage of Philippe Senderos. I think that's a huge advantage for the New England Revolution. So I just want to end with the fact that actually a couple of former Fulham players are in MLS. Well, one was an academy player. Danny Hosen plays for the San Jose Earthquake. He never played for the first team, Max, but he's in MLS. And, of course, now we have Senderos. So it's interesting how some of these players are coming this way, and there's been speculation of Luca Della Torre potentially coming to the New England Revolution. I would like to see that. So we'll see there, my friend. All right, enough talking about MLS and the Revolution. This is a Fulham podcast. Well, let's wrap this up. For Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.